Dick. What do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Let's pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Who does the lollipop?
Welcome to the Mouse and Castles.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
For too long, I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to the Mouse and Castle podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've joined us once again for another magical time of podcasting goodness. I'm talking about Disney. That's what we're talking about. Disney World, Disneyland, D23. Disney 23? Is that what D23 stands for? I would assume so. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Appreciate it. He's here to save the show. Mr. Aaron Goins, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Riley. I have a Disney fashion story for you.
What?
Some Disney fashion.
Disney. Yeah. What kind of Disney fashion? Wow.
Yeah. Today, when I went to work, when I was getting ready for work today, I decided I was going to wear a Disney-themed shirt to work.
What? Was it just because you knew we were recording tonight? You were getting in the mood?
No, it was more just because I don't know. Like, there's a lot of people at my job right now that are on vacation, so I knew I could kind of just get away with dressing a little different today and not have, like, too many people see me. So I have a shirt that's it's like a button-down, so it still has a collar and all that, but it's Aladdin-themed because it's basically based on the pattern of the magic carpet.
You rebel.
So I wore that to work today. But
living
the thing that disappointed me...
Mm-hmm.
Is I literally got zero comments. I was hoping that somebody would say something like, oh, I like your shirt, or like, oh, what's that shirt, or what's the pattern, or what's the story behind that? Nothing. It was almost like it was just too normal.
You were hoping like to walk in and you got like someone reporting to you. Well, Mr. Goins, the expense report, I guess you could say we're one jump ahead. So you like that? I didn't do the whole New World pun. I went a little more obscure there.
That's good. That's good stuff. But even like my really close friend at work, who is a Disney fanatic, didn't even catch it.
This is the guy I've met, right? It's like has all the
blended in.
I think I've met this guy.
Yeah, I think you've met him. But so I was a bit disappointed. It is what it's like a her universe, or I guess for this shirt specifically, it's our universe. But I was a little. I had bought it specifically to go see Aladdin with that shirt on, which I did. So this is only the second time I've ever worn it. Mm-hmm.
Dup dup ba diddly doo. And now I want to watch Aladdin again. Let's be honest, the best live action film that's come out this year, easily. Right? I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I saw Lion King again.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Went and saw it a second time, which is usually a true test on if I actually like a movie or not.
I guess so, yeah. I've only seen it the once.
I truly enjoyed it again. I liked it more the second time, maybe.
Oh. Nice.
So yeah.
I was there for you, and I resent that. It's my favorite line from the movie.
Oh, best man. Friend.
Yeah, that no, hurts. It's true. It's true. Well, we have a pretty a packed show, actually. We're going to preview D23. That's really going to be the news when we come back. We're going to come back next week, guys, and actually break down all of the craziness from D23. I'm super bummed I won't be there. This year. I went there for the first time 2 years ago, and I was hoping to come back. It just didn't align with my work schedule. Aaron, why aren't you being a field reporter? Come on. It's not like you have a family or anything.
Yeah, too much travel this year. I had to take a break, but I'm going to like a local convention this weekend, but it's not Disney themed, unfortunately.
Oh, well, you know, maybe next
maybe
time.
In a couple years.
Next time.
Maybe we should plan for 2021 we both go at the same time.
I mean, I think so. It's fair. We do the Disney podcast, so I think we should. We should. So we're going to preview that. Then actually, we're going to have some fun. We're going to dig into our own, I guess it's a podcast listicle of sorts. We're going to kind of go back and forth on our top three Hollywood Studios experiences, and we're going to do this for a few different parks, but wanted to start out with Hollywood Studios. We'll be doing that coming up later in the program as well. That'll be the bulk of the show, but like I said, let's jump right into it. We have D23 coming up this weekend. Right as you're listening to the podcast, we are on the cusp of all the announcements that we are expecting. Referenced an IO9 story here that breaks down exactly what we can expect from D23. This is there's the parks, there's Disney Plus, and then there's the movies. Those are sort of the big three categories. And starting with the parks, we have the Marvel, the rumored Marvel theme park news, which, Aaron, I haven't tracked, shocker, I know, I have not tracked the progress as much on the Marvel theme park as I did Galaxy's Edge. I do know this. I'm always walking by the Stark Industries construction sign when I've been at Disneyland this last year. So, I mean, I know it's there and what they're building, but we really don't know what it'll be. And I don't think there's that much information out there. Actually, according to the piece, it's construction, of course, is going to be in California Adventure, scheduled for a 2020 opening. Haven't had much in the way of specifics, but, I mean, it's got to be Avengers-themed slash... I mean, maybe they expand the Guardians of the Galaxy thing because of Breakout, but I'm willing to bet it's got to be Avengers, because that's the flagship most well-known. But we don't know exactly what it'll be, and that's kind of the first thing. That's probably the biggest expectation of an announcement that we're going to get on the theme parks. Aaron, what do you want to see? What do you hope to see out of an Avengers experience at California Adventure?
I think it's really exciting for the possibilities that they can do. I know California, they have a little bit more freedom out there with which characters they can use. Like they're strapped in Florida where they can't use the full, you know, cast of Marvel characters, but there's a lot more freedom out in their California parks. So
now why is that? I've never fully understood. Is it a specific deal that they made with Marvel that was
It's a
state
whole
by
thing
state?
With Universal Studios. The Universal Studios parks in Orlando had a deal to use the Marvel characters.
Yeah.
And I don't know all the ins and outs of it, so I'm not the best person to kind of speak to all the specifics around it. But I know that because of that deal that Universal had with Marvel, the Disney parks, even though Disney purchased Marvel, still had to abide by the rule that they weren't allowed to use Marvel characters. For a certain amount of time, I believe. So I don't know. So I think at this point, that's why you can see Guardians of the Galaxy stuff at Disney World. So they are making a Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Epcot. But the reason they can do that is because Universal Studios never used the Guardians of the Galaxy characters. So that's why. But in California, they don't have those same restrictions. So, I think it's going to be really cool. And Marvel is obviously a super valuable property to highlight in the Disney parks, and it's going to bring a lot of fans in to check that stuff out. So what it's going to look like or what rides it's going to entail, I'm not sure, but I'm assuming, they'll probably revolve around the really popular Avengers characters, you know, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Black Panther. I think it's gonna be really cool.
Yeah, no, it will be. I pulled up this piece from travelandleisure.com, which kind of talks about the difference where they have the characters at Hong Kong and Disneyland. However, Florida will be left out of the mix thanks to a 20-year-old binding agreement with Comcast spelling out that Marvel can never step foot in the Sunshine State as a Disney product. So this is a financial analysis from the Motley Fool. Nearly two decades ago, Comcast signed territorial rights, which makes sense as to, this is why it's Florida-specific, covering most of Marvel's best-known characters for use in the theme park. And in the U.S., east of the Mississippi River. Now, that sounds like an old Civil War era east of the Mississippi River, you won't use Spider-Man. So it looks like, but the specific characters, it's Spider-Man, all the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, basically all the characters that nobody cares about anymore. they do have the Hulk is also banned from Disney World. However, they are free to use, and this is where you will see them. You can see characters from Guardians of the Galaxy, Black Panther, and I think that Captain Marvel can appear there. So some of the ones that were obscure at the time, and of course now have been lifted out of obscurity thanks to Kevin Feige, can appear. So their hands are kind of tied, but that's just the nature of it, and that's why you'll see like Black Panther and stuff at Epcot, and you said the Guardians attraction that's coming to Epcot. So, mm-hmm. which makes sense, which just, I mean, it makes sense. But so that's really the feature thing we're looking. We'll break it down once we actually get the news. Let's jump into, I know, shocker. Let's talk about Star Wars. The rise of something. actually, I was at San Diego Comic-Con, Aaron, and it was kind of a bit of a letdown from a Lucasfilm perspective. They had the pavilion that they always have there on the exhibit hall, and they are showcasing a lot of the products, but really the biggest thing they had there was this kind of this trooper armor display, which was really cool the way they put it together, and it featured this one trooper design from Rise of Skywalker, but that's the only Rise of Skywalker detail they had. But it's pretty safe to assume that the reason that was the case is because they're waiting for D23, and we'll actually get some kind of sneak peek at D23 here. Now, I don't think we're going to get the full trailer yet, actually. I think it's going to be like a behind-the-scenes reel. They did something similar for Solo, Rogue One. I can't remember.
Rogue One had a really cool behind-the-scenes reel.
I'm trying to remember which one. I saw a behind-the-scenes reel at D23. That's also where I saw the, Infinity War. That's where they first showed the Infinity War trailer and then didn't debut it for like 3 months. And that actually was very gratifying. I was like, oh, I did actually see an exclusive at a convention. Because they normally just release the trailer out in the wild the same day of these days. But anyway, right. I digress. The Rise of Skywalker, we're going to see some kind of a behind-the-scenes reel. And I imagine we'll see J.J. Abrams kind of do a presentation similar to what they do at Celebration, where they show some clips and behind the scenes and design and stuff like that to kind of whet the appetite of the hardcore fans. But I think they're saving the debut of the full trailer, since we already have the teaser, until we're only a few months out from the film. I would imagine it'll be, as football season starts, after school starts in the coming month or two, that's when we'll finally get the full theatrical trailer.
Riley, I think you are spot on with your speculation.
Why? Thank you.
Yes, I don't have much to add.
I agree.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, let me ask you about Disney Plus then, Aaron, because that's really where the hype seems to be, and since we last recorded, they had the third quarter earnings call, where we often learn a little bit more about the finances and future of the company. And that's where Disney for the first time publicly addressed the declining attendance at Disneyland, and some of their plans to kind of mitigate it, which I think is kind of significant, honestly, the fact that they even talked about it. But I guess it's something
that they're trying to alleviate the knee-jerk reaction fears of people.
And that's what the earnings calls for. It's for shareholders, so it's kind of to address some of these swirling rumors and knee-jerk reactions.
Yeah, I think the Disney parks are doing just fine, even with attendance. I don't think it's that alarming, but I think because people were alarmed, they have to bring it up. They can't just ignore it.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. So Disney Plus is coming, Aaron. I've even seen some ads on Facebook already. And I forget, the whole reason I brought up the earnings call is that's where they announced that Disney is bundling their two streaming services, ESPN Plus and Disney Plus, but also they have reached an agreement with Hulu, which they recently, I want to say it was last year, purchased a majority stake in the company, and so they'll be wrapping up a Hulu subscription and Disney Plus and ESPN Plus for $12.99 a month. And that's kind of their power move. That's really just twisting the knife in Netflix of saying, hey, we are here and we're here to compete, not with just content from Disney fanatics for Disney fans, but for the ESPN, for the sports world, and for like television fans, the Hulu service, all for the same price that you're doing it. Here we go. Let's go. They're going head to head.
Yeah. And I think with all the exciting content that they're announcing, you know, new original things that are coming, Disney Plus is going to be a big player right off the bat as soon as they, you know, release. I'm excited to see. I know D23 is supposed to have like a preview where if you're actually at the convention, you'll be able to see what the interface is like and go through and actually use it.
Oh, cool.
And even sign up. And I think there's some kind of really cool, you know, big discount for people that sign up while they're at D23.
So I'm
excited. I won't do the bundle just because I don't necessarily care about the ESPN stuff. And if you look at it just from like the Hulu and Disney Plus perspective, it doesn't really save you much money. But for people that do like the ESPN stuff, it is definitely a great deal.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is true. And I think this is the opportunity. They already kind of talked about the pricing and that made that big announcement in the earnings call. I think D23 here will be their chance to really kind of showcase the content. This is where they're going to be showing all the new trailers for all the Marvel stuff, the Star Wars stuff. This is their time to really sell the content of the platform.
You think they're going to do trailers? Are we going to see? Because I know Mandalorian is the big thing that Star Wars fans are going to be interested in.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get
to show a kind of a trailer and like a clip while we were at Star Wars Celebration, but that stuff hasn't been publicly released. Do you think they'll just show the same things that we saw at Celebration, or will there be new stuff?
No, this is the time. This is the time to start selling. It's November 12th, and we're already seeing ads for the service. It's the time to market it. Best way to market it, drop the trailers. Drop the trailer for the Loki series. Have freaking Tom Hiddleston come out on stage and introduce it in costume. You watch. This is what they're going to do. And then they'll probably debut the trailers for The Mandalorian, maybe even a little teaser or something like that, or some behind-the-scenes stuff from Cassian Andor, and then freaking Ewan McGregor's walking on stage, and they're announcing the Obi-Wan series.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. I'm calling it. I think so.
I think it's a bunch of fluff.
Yeah. You keep your cynical heart at home, sir.
I've seen a lot, like, just as an example. You know, everyone's kind of like pointing at the fact that the big outlets are covering this now, so that means it's going to happen.
Yeah.
The big outlets also covered when they announced a Boba Fett movie, and the big outlets covered when they announced the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, which didn't come to fruition. So is there talk of a Obi-Wan series on Disney Plus in the realm of Disney and Lucasfilm? Are they talking to Ewan McGregor? Sure, they probably are. Is it going to actually mean there's going to be a show that we ever see? I still think that is way up in the air. So I wouldn't get your hopes up.
Stop,
if it happens, I'll be super happy.
Stop killing my dreams. This is a Disney podcast, but, man.
I'm just saying, we've learned our lesson in the past they tend to, if it's not the official, you know, if we're not hearing it from Lucasfilm or Disney, then don't get your hopes up.
All right, you cynic. Fine.
We'll see.
Fine.
We'll see this weekend, though. I hope so.
We will, and we'll see. We'll be back next week, and we can break it down, and we'll see if they make the announcement. It'd be pretty cool because you're right. It is like the trades announcing that they've reached a deal, but until the deal's announced, they're not.
No one's even said that.
Yeah. No.
Literally, the only thing, if you read the articles that people are saying, it's literally just that they have confirmed that they may be doing a show with Ewan McGregor, which I think is kind of a interesting combination of words, have confirmed and maybe, but nobody says that he's actually signed on.
Yeah, because I'm looking for like one of the
headlines are misleading because the headlines will say it, but then once you read the content of the article,
and
that's where
I know I had read some articles that say he had signed, like that the rumor is that he had signed it. But then I'm looking now as I'm going to the Google machine, and the sources I'm finding that are saying he signed it are not the trades. Like here's the
less reputable ones.
Yeah, here's the deadline one, which is usually pretty accurate. Plans to produce a standalone Kenobi film have morphed into the current plan for a big budget series for Disney Plus, just as the discussion of the Boba Fett film gave way to the similarly spirited The Mandalorian series. Disney Plus plans. No, I'm looking at this. Yeah, Disney Plus. So it's literally saying that they're planning this big series. And it gives you some background on Ewan McGregor, but it doesn't specifically say that Ewan McGregor has signed.
Right.
You're right. You know what? Your cynicism won.
This time. But I hope I'm wrong because I love Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
And honestly, of all things that they could announce that I would be excited for, if they announce a Ewan McGregor-led Kenobi series, that's the thing I'd be the most excited for.
Oh,
it
by far.
Far surpass my excitement for The Mandalorian.
It far surpass my excitement for anything Star Wars they put out so far.
Yeah.
Let's get
real. I mean, that's the, you know, Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi is my favorite movie character. So I can't. I mean, I hope it's right. I just don't want to get my hopes up.
Yeah. Listen. It's a fragile soul. You don't want the dreams dashed, right?
And by the time we release this episode, we'll probably already have heard one way or the other. So this won't even matter.
Jeez. Yeah. No. True. So that's the sort of Disney Plus. Of course, I guess we haven't really. It's Disney, of course, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic. Those are kind of the big content that we're going to see, and we'll see probably a lot of reveals on this. Mandalorian. I mean, we've talked about it kind of ad nauseum. The last, I think, element, of course, is Pixar. Pixar. We already had a trailer for. Oh well, Onward. That's what it was. But we might get a little bit more from that, as well as this mysterious movie called Soul that they're working on. We don't really know what it is, but it's coming from Pete Docter, who worked on Monsters, Inc., Up, and Inside Out, which are all some of my favorite Pixar movies. So it'll be interesting to see if that we might get a trailer or maybe an announcement related to the next Pixar one. And, of course, Disney Animation, which, I mean, the quality in terms of quality is almost comparable, but we got Frozen 2.
Yeah, and we don't know yet.
Zootopia 2, maybe. Who knows? That's kind of the.
Yeah.
I don't think they really did stack Comic-Con with Marvel stuff, so I don't know that they have anything left to announce as far as Marvel goes. Maybe they'll have some.
They could have saved a couple things. There are definitely some things that we are kind of thinking, oh, we know are coming that they didn't really talk about at San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
So there's a possibility of a little bit more information. I think they held on to a couple little nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah. They also have some historical panels at D23 on the original Aladdin, Little Mermaid, Tarzan, Haunted Mansion, and more.
I would love that. This is a con I got to get to eventually.
Right. Yeah, next time. We'll do it the next time. It'll be a lot of fun. I mean, just see the being the first to see that like sweet model they had of Galaxy's Edge, and just running into Doug Chang there, who's just like grinning ear to ear as he watches people fawn over it, and nobody knows who he is. He's just kind of standing there. That was one of my favorite moments of all of that D23. Doug Chang, by the way, I should specify, well-known, I guess, artist and concept creative at Lucasfilm. So it was really cool to kind of, because he worked a lot on the prequels and then, of course, now the Disney era, including Galaxy's Edge. So it's kind of cool to see that. But I digress. Hey, Aaron. Do you like...
Yes, sir.
Do you like Hollywood Studios?
I like it, yeah. Although I'd say it's probably my least favorite of the four parks right now.
Oh, you shut up. No, actually, no, I can see why. It's not the busiest park right now. I mean, it's about to be with Galaxy's Edge opening. But here today, here at the Mouse and Castle, we're here to discuss and really tell you what you can do to avoid the crowds. The stuff outside of Galaxy's Edge, our top three experiences at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Coming right up. It's been very NPR. I found this album that's like the Circle Sessions of Carthway Circle at Hollywood Studios. It's all like big band stuff of Disney. It's pretty great.
It's good. I like it. Yeah.
So Hollywood Studios, I've mentioned it briefly here before. It's my sort of sentimental favorite Disney park. Some of my favorite experiences and first few experiences at Disney were all here thanks to Star Wars Weekends back in the day. I miss it. I miss it so much. Star Wars Weekends back in the day. Always a great time. But I thought, because it's my sentimental favorite, it would be a fun place to start when it comes to highlighting our sort of, top experiences, our favorite. Like if you're going there, especially like the first time, what are the can't miss, experiences? And we'll each kind of talk about them. And if we have the same one, we can, we'll jump in on the discussion, Aaron, but I figure I'll toss it to you, sir, and have you, kick us off.
All right. Well, Hollywood Studios, I think originally, like my first time going to Disney World, which was, I think, 1998, It was my favorite park back then. I just, you know, it was at the time, it was just more interesting to me, I think, at the age I was at than some of the other parks. But over the years, it kind of has gotten a little less interesting because it's, you know, just the other parks have started to add new stuff, and this one seemed to be falling behind. But now they've added Toy Story Land. Now we have Galaxy's Edge coming. So I think this park is going to kind of rise back up and be, you know, kind of alongside the other parks for me. But currently there's not a lot that I get excited about when I go to Hollywood Studios as far as what rides I want to try to, you know, get on. But there are some favorites here for me, classic-wise. And I would say, I guess first one I'll say is Rock and Roller Coaster.
Okay. Wow! It's so good. It's so cheesy.
I'm not a big Aerosmith fan.
It is so freaking cheesy.
Yeah. The whole the queue while you're waiting and the video they play and all that stuff, super cheesy. It hasn't aged well.
No, it has
not. So the theming, as far as Aerosmith goes, not a huge fan of, but the actual ride itself is a great ride. I love, you know, across all the Disney parks, I tend to really like the more roller coaster type rides. And so, yeah, this one has always been a favorite. Definitely try to ride it anytime I'm there. I hope that they actually retain the ride, but retheme it and kind of modernize it a bit. I think there's an opportunity there, and there has been rumors that they may do that eventually. But just the core ride itself, I think, is great.
Yeah. It just had, by the way, its 20th anniversary. It's been around a hot second. That would make it on my honorable mentions, actually. I thought about putting it if it was going to be my top three. But it's right up there, but it couldn't quite squeeze it out. Mine is kind of Star Wars heavy.
Okay. Well, that's good, because mine is Star Wars light, so we'll balance each other out.
Well, because my number three is going to have to be, at no surprise, Star Tours. Now, of course, it's Star Tours, and I'm a big Star Wars nerd, so it makes sense. But I actually, I think this is one of my favorite, best ways to describe it, is it's kind of a nauseating ride. It's which is funny because you can't ride it that many times, but I do remember specifically on one of those Star Wars weekends, we had like a bout of rain. There's a whole crew of Star Wars fans and podcasters and stuff that were hanging out for that particular Star Wars weekends, and it was like me, buddy Steve Glosson, David Collins, randomly guy, Lucasfilm type of guy, but like there's a whole group of people, and there's like this flash rain for like 30 minutes, but it emptied the park and there's no line at all. And everyone just went Star Tours crazy and literally rode the ride like five times in a row. So the first time we did it, it was like, right, everybody gets off and like, do it again. And so the whole group of people does it. It's like enough to almost fill an entire Star Tours ride. And then we do it again the second time. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Let's do it again. That'd be crazy, right? Three times. Woohoo. And then the fourth time, everyone's like, yeah, we're going to do it again. I was like, wait, really? Isn't the bits over, right? We're doing it. Okay. So that's basically my experience, which I guess that may not describe why I like it. But of course, I just really like the immersion and just kind of traveling around and seeing the different locations. It's not very interactive or anything like that, but it's the classic kind of Hollywood Studios ride for me and my friends, Star Tours. The adventure continues because it reopened in 2011. I never went to the old one. I guess you did, right?
I did. Yeah, I did ride the old one, and I got a chance to do the whole last tour on Endor that they did the big event around it closing. Nice. So it was like the last time you could ride it. They did that big event in conjunction with one of the celebrations, so I happened to go to that as well. So I've ridden the old version, I've ridden the new version. The reason why this didn't make my list, as big of a Star Wars fan as I am, and I would love to have this on my list, is the queasiness. I have an issue with this ride. I can't enjoy it because I get super queasy. So I've ridden it a lot because I want to see the different iterations of it, and that's one of the cool things about the ride is every time you ride it, it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
and it's really well done, but every time I get off that ride, I can't ride it more than once in a row, or even across the whole of the day. I tend to just ride it once because otherwise, I'd be queasy the rest of the day. So, didn't make my list because it's just not the type of ride. Those simulator rides don't tend to be my favorite.
Yeah, that's fair. Which is why it's kind of interesting. I can see why Smuggler's Run, it may not be like the Aaron Star Wars ride. I think Rise of Resistance is going to be much more your speed.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. All right, coming in at number two for Aaron Goins.
I'm going to say I'll go with a new ride here. I think Slinky Dog Dash is a big hit.
Oh, I haven't done it. And, okay.
Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously one of the key things right now at Hollywood Studios is the Toy Story Land. That's what they're really trying to market right now and get people in before, you know, Galaxy's Edge. And, you know, I'd say overall as a whole, the Toy Story Land was a bit of a disappointment. But that ride, which I have only ridden once, but I did have to wait quite a while because we didn't have a fast pass. But it was a really, really good ride. It kind of reminds me of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of one of those kind of quick, very smooth and kind of quick turns and bumps and stuff like that, but not rickety at all.
Yeah.
And it has a great view right into Galaxy's Edge. When you're at the top of the ride. So, yeah, I'd say that even though I've only ridden it once and it's a very new attraction, it's already going to be in my top three.
Oh, wow. That's actually a surprise. I am a little bit surprised. But that definitely puts it at the top of my list when we go. Wow, coming up pretty soon for the Wine and Dine, we'll be at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, we got to try to get that.
Aaron, I hope you're ready. It's like it's becoming a whole thing. That trip, I don't know if this is the
okay.
Place. Yeah,
you'll have to explain more to me later.
My mom. I'll just lead with the headline. My mom is coming. Get ready.
Oh, okay.
No, Bethany, it's coming because it's coming a little bit of a mini Blanton family reunion where Bethany and my mom and possibly one of my other sisters will come down that weekend, which will be fun. That'll be a good time.
It's a great time to go to Disney World. I can't wait. I'm excited about.
I'm hyped. Come down.
I wish
day
you guys
early.
Were going to be able to make it to the Halloween party. The Mickey's Not So Scary. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah,
because I think all the combined Mickey's Not So Scary and the race and the Wine and Dine Food and Wine Festival. It's a great time of year to go to Disney World.
Come down a day early. Come on, come on. Fly down Thursday. anyway,
I haven't bought my plane tickets yet, you know?
Oh, that means he can be convinced, ladies and gentlemen. It just means text to Vic is what needs to happen. but I digress. I digress. I'll jump in my number two, which I'm going to a classic here. I imagine it might be on yours, although who knows? Tower of Terror. I just love this ride. I love the Guardians Breakout version, which I actually think is a bit better. But I also love the Tower of Terror. Of course, themed after the Twilight Zone, but it's like this really classic Disney ride experience that's also a freaking awesome drop ride where you just feel alive when you're on this ride because you feel like you're dying, but you also feel alive. It's a very hard to describe. I'd never been on a drop ride before this, before being on this, and I've kind of become an adrenaline junkie, at least in terms of this. It's 13 stories down an elevator shaft, so it's a lot. Especially my favorite is when it peaks up at the very, very top and there's a window where you can see down over the whole park. And then, of course, you drop all the way down to the end. It's just awesome. It's always a long line, though. It's very popular, so I only really recommend doing it with a fast pass.
Yeah, and you can catch certain times of the day where it's not as bad as far as the line goes.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah.
Yeah. Is it my turn?
Let's hit it. Number one.
Because I will, I'm going to agree with you on this. Tower of Terror, man.
Yeah.
Nice. Mostly because it terrifies me.
Really?
This drop rides terrify me. The feeling of falling terrifies me. And because of the respect for that, I have to give this one the number one ranking because I've had entire times that I'll go to Disney World and I won't even ride it just because I know how scared I am. But I end up getting talked into it.
You do, mostly by me and our friends.
Yeah. And every time I do, I'm always happy I get talked into it because it is just such an adrenaline rush. And like you were describing, when you hit that top and you see out that window across the whole park, it's like one of the best things you can do at Disney World.
Yeah.
And I think the Guardians version is my preferred version. I like all the changes that they did with the video.
For sure.
Kind of as you're popping up and you see different scenes and it kind of distracts you from the fear of the falling a little bit more than this one
true.
Where you're just in the dark. But both versions are amazing. And I always have to apologize to whoever's sitting next to me because I tend to just reach out and grab somebody's hand or, you know, their knee or something as I'm like
just
falling.
Have a little, just a little moment.
Yeah. So, and of course they take the picture, you know, on that first drop. So there's a lot of pictures out there of me in just a complete terrified face. So, yeah.
No, nice. I like it. It's just a classic. I also like it's probably worth mentioning, and one reason I think it's a must go to if you're going to Hollywood Studios is the layout of the park. I really like the way you kind of walk, take a stroll down Sunset Boulevard, kind of out of the way of the rest of the park, and the Hollywood, like the classic Hollywood feel, really hits in that part of the park. And of course with the hotel's 1940s theme of like. Of Hollywood, you know, Tower Hotel. It just the theme kind of fits nicely. That's probably the most Hollywood Studios feeling part of Hollywood Studios these days, I would say.
Yeah, and there's been rumors that they may retheme it kind of the way they did, because the one in, you know, California, the Guardians of the Galaxy one, used to be,
yeah,
you know, the same kind of ride with as Tower of Terror, and they rethemed it. So there's been rumors that they may retheme this one as well. I really hope that they don't. I really hope they keep this one the way it is, and keep it classic.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, that kind of works well. We had some overlap there, and then I guess I'll bring in my number one, which is, I think, is the only non-ride experience, but I have to go to, and I sort of, by getting such a great seat for the like a Happily Ever After fireworks show at Disneyland. Or sorry, Step Into the Magic. I confused the titles of the two. But the fireworks show right at the end of the night really kind of sold me on that is the way to experience the parks. Because I hadn't really done that before. Really the first time. I mean, I guess I'd seen a few times the Star Wars one at Hollywood Studios, which is what I'm about to talk about. Spoiler alert. But the Christmas / fall celebration with the snow that we went to last year, I want to say it was like in November last year when you flew out, Aaron. That was, I mean, it's just magical, and that's why I have to bring up to the top. If we're talking Hollywood Studios, we're talking about the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular, Nighttime Spectacular, which is there. They right on the Chinese Theater. They project a bunch of the Star Wars saga, fireworks, lasers, projections, everything you'd kind of typically expect from a Disney fireworks show, but it's all Star Wars. So as the Star Wars guy, it's just awesome. And these days, they do such a great flow blending all of the Star Wars films from the prequels all the way through the original trilogies all the way to the current stuff. And I love how the show pays tribute to the whole saga instead of just featuring the recent Disney films. And so it's just a great way to end the night. And if you're going to go to Hollywood Studios, I'm putting this in the can't miss category.
And they kind of mix things up with the kind of late night fireworks shows there at Hollywood Studios, probably more so than they do with the other parks.
Yeah.
Because I know they did like a movies one for a while, and I think they're switching over to like an animated kind of themed one that's, I don't know if it's already started or it's going to be starting soon. And then of course they have the Star Wars themed one too. So you can kind of see a lot of different versions of the fireworks, the nighttime fireworks show there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, it's and I mean, some of my fondest memories back from Star Wars weekends are the fireworks spectacular. It's just a lot of fun.
Right.
I'm pulling it up on the site because I'm wondering if it's still active. Yeah, no. So Galactic Spectacular is still running currently.
I wonder with because I know when we were at Disneyland and we went to Galaxy's Edge, they did the Disneyland fireworks. And, you know, you could see them over where the Falcons located. So it was almost like it was planned that way, or it probably was. But as far as there being some sort of a fireworks show going on in Galaxy's Edge, and we kind of commented that it was weird that there was no music. But I haven't heard anything about, like, the Disney World version of Galaxy's Edge. And if they're going to incorporate the fireworks, the nighttime show that happens at Hollywood Studios, where you can see that from Galaxy's Edge and what that looks like, if it's going to be the same, you know, thing. Because I think the way that it's laid out, that would be a little bit different. I don't think that you would be able to see the fireworks kind of in the same way over the Falcon.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see. So, I mean, it opens really soon, and, you know,
we should find out soon. Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see how much of the Star Wars stuff going on with Launch Bay and the Galactic Spectacular and all the marches that they do at Hollywood Studios if they're going to start to slowly phase that stuff out and really just focus on the Galaxy's Edge Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to bring this episode of the Mouse Castle podcast to a close. Crazy, right? That was fun. I like kind of hitting our favorites. There's a lot. There's actually.
Yeah. Have you have any honorable mentions? A couple honorable mentions.
Yeah, I feel we can tag the show with that, right? Like, cause like there's a lot of. I mean, there's a lot of great experiences. I think the one that I kind of was torn about was Rock and Roller Coaster for me. That was definitely a big one. I'm trying to think of what else.
The Indiana Jones stunt spectacular is kind of like one of those. It's been there forever. I saw it the first time I went to Disney World. I saw it the last time I went to Disney World, and they really haven't changed it. I think that's another thing. There's a lot of rumors about them phasing out eventually, but that one's just kind of like a bit nostalgic for me, and I loved the first time my kids got to see it. It was fun, too.
Yeah, that's got to be an honorable mention. Let's see. It's Toy Story Mania. That's up there. I don't know that it's a must see, but it's up there as well. I think so. But you know what? Actually, here's what I'd like to do. There's a couple. I found this great article. I'll link to it if you want to read the whole thing. But there's a couple honorable mentions I wanted to hit, and I started to forget about it right as I was about to end the show, and then I remembered. But there's two here I want to hit with you. That for me, there's no good reason. This should be on the list, right? Like, this is not a must-see at all. However, there's, like, my favorite little Easter eggs at Hollywood Studios for me personally. And the first one's Pizza Planet. Pizza Planet's the bomb. Uh-huh. It's the place to go just to grab a quick, cheap bite of food in this, like, ancient 1950s-themed diner. And I can't... There's a video blog from a year or two ago when we were there, and we snuck in because it was technically closed, but they left one of the doors open. So we took our food up there, and they had the whole place to ourselves. And we had Pizza Planet is great.
Yeah, you do know that they closed it, right?
Oh, that's right.
And to break that news
Damn
to
it.
You.
No, I knew this. I just had literal like re-flashbacks because I remember this being announced, and then I'd forgotten that it was announced.
They replaced it with another pizza place, and they actually have some pretty cool little Easter egg shout-outs.
Screw the place.
No,
screw this new place. I don't like it.
But yeah, I agree. That was one of my favorite places to go as well.
It was my hideout. Also, it was one of the few places that there are outlets that where you won't be disturbed, where there are power outlets to charge your phone.
Yeah, it was in like kind of a quieter part of the park too. You know, you could kind of go there and chill and sit in the upper level of the restaurant and kind of relax if you wanted to. Yeah, I do miss it, but
yeah.
Hey, things, you know, they got to update, they got to change.
I've got two more. I've got two more, but I should ask you, Aaron, any specific like random things that you like that are just like little personal favorites?
I think the first time in forever, Frozen sing-along is really fun, especially if you're there with your kids.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's really good. And they tend to have some pretty good cast members that are doing the show, and they're really funny, and they kind of ad-lib a little bit. But then they also sing the songs, and then at one point it snows in the theater. You know, they do the whole snow thing, and it snows under the crowd, which my kids just absolutely loved.
Aww.
So, yeah, I'd say that's definitely a honorable mention for me, because if I'm there with my kids, I'm not missing that show.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me, I'll check it out, but for me, I've got two more that I want to hit. One is the speeder bike. No, random. But I always love
photo
like,
op, which is also gone.
It's the speeder bike photo op. But yeah, they did take that down recently. I did know that. But that was one of my favorites.
Why are you picking stuff that's gone, Riley?
I know. All right. So this one's not gone, and they better damn well not take it away. All right. It's the Singing in the Rain umbrella. Have you seen this?
I don't know if I am familiar with that.
So as you're heading up the streets of America, there's a street pole with an umbrella just like Singing in the Rain. Okay. Most people don't even notice it. Like, it's right there, but you can like recreate that little scene from Singing in the Rain, and I love it. It's very, very, you know, again, getting back to the Hollywood Studios part of Hollywood Studios. I really enjoy that. And I think that is worth mentioning right here at the end is that I really do like the classic Hollywood MGM, if you will, design and layout and vibe of the park. And I do think it's kind of lost some of that in the excitement of, you know, they just kind of rebranded the logo for Hollywood Studios, and they're really pushing it as like, this is the Star Wars place and the Pixar place. And it's, and I guess other than the main street and Sunset Boulevard, you know, Streets of America has kind of gone to the wayside, making room for Galaxy's Edge, because that's where the entrance to the Galaxy's Edge is over there. So I think that's one part of Hollywood Studios that does make me a little sad about all these changes, as much as I'm thrilled about Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, and I think there's room for it all. I mean, I hope they don't change Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard. I love the feel of that. And it kind of has a similar feel like when you do Magic and Main Street. It kind of has that similar feel with all the shops and stuff there. Yeah. I think there's room for it all, because I think with Galaxy's Edge coming in, it's going to bring increased interest into the park. So it's a good thing. And it's separated enough from the rest of the stuff that I don't think it's going to ruin that feel that you get when you first walk into the park.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think so. We'll see. I think it's, we have lost some, but they are going to preserve those main areas, hopefully. And the 50s sci-fi diner, and there'll be some other things like that that'll stay kind of classic Hollywood themed. But, I mean, that's really been inevitable ever since they went away from the old MGM Studios backlot tour type stuff, and that's been gone for a long time. So this has kind of been a long time coming in that way too.
Yeah, and they had the Mickey Sorcerer's hat that was in the middle for a while.
Oh yeah.
And I believe that the first time I went, that was there. So that's kind of all I knew. And then when they said they were going to take it down, I was actually a little disappointed. A lot of people were happy they were taking it down because it hadn't always been there. But it was all I knew, and so it was kind of nostalgic for me. And then I was sad. But then now that it's gone, I'm like, I totally get why they took it out. It actually does really improve the sight lines, and it makes it look so much better. So sometimes they make these changes, and we kind of hold on to our favorites, or we hold on to things that we're nostalgic about. But, you know, in the long run, it's usually for the better.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to bring officially the wraps on this episode of the Mouse and Castle podcast. Aaron, good times. I enjoyed it. I can't believe I was just waltzing right past it literally before we started recording. I'm like, oh, there's these Easter eggs I definitely want to mention. Then I was like, oh yeah, we're not. No, we're not. No, some of those little Easter eggs are the most fun I've had at the parks. That's, I think, the other important thing to recognize is that, you know, nothing about what I love about the Disney parks is tied to a ride, like a specific ride or something like that. If you were going to Disney just for roller coasters, just go across the street to Universal. Hey, toss in the shade. Right. But no, seriously, like, that's really the level of attention to detail of guest experience is what has fosters what makes Disney special. It's not what makes Disney special. What makes Disney special is experiencing it with friends, but I think that's so special because of how much they really cater every little detail of the guest experience. So, I mean, that's why we're Disney nerds and not Universal nerds or Six Flags nerds or something like that. So, man, Aaron, point people where to go, where they can find you online. Maybe any current projects you've got that you'd like to plug.
You can always find me on Twitter at @AVGoins, and we're still doing Bookworms, Star Wars Bookworms podcast, if you're into Star Wars literature. And my Doctor Who podcast, Bad Wolf Radio, have a library of episodes out there, and we will be back when the show comes back.
Nice. Yep. Check it out, ladies and gents. Again, at @AVGoins on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. Best place to follow me, at @TheRileyGuy, R-I-L-E-Y. And then, of course, subscribe to the show if you haven't, and share it with a Disney friend. Quick plug, make sure you subscribe if you haven't to the Mouse and Castle newsletter. It's just bit.ly/mouseandcastle. And that's where we publish our weekly podcast newsletter for your consuming pleasure, highlighting some of the top stories of the weeks and our commentary and Aaron's hot takes. And whenever we publish a show, we add the link to that so that you can make sure you're getting it in your email inbox, as well as wherever you subscribe to find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to Mouse and Castle. And check out the Star Wars Report if you're into the Star Wars stuff, of course, too. So until next week, when we come back for all the D23 news. This is going to be so much stuff to break down. We might need to do multiple shows just to break down everything that's going to be coming in from D23. So until next time, folks, a dream is a wish your heart makes. Does it count if it was just a track title on the album and I liked it?
Yeah. I was going to say, you're just lifting. You're just lifting lines from Disney now. Straight up lines.
Well, it wasn't as awkward, though. You can't.
It may be the best way to go with this. We might just start,
random
plenty of them
whatever
out there.
Disney quote we want. Yeah.
I did really like that out music, though. I like how it kind of,
I like this album, man. I'm a fan.
I think this talking about Hollywood Studios got me all excited about going to Hollywood Studios again, even though I said it was my least favorite of the parks. I'm all like,
Oh, yeah.
There is a lot of nostalgia for me on that park. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so, really, I mean, that's
even Echo Lake, that stupid dinosaur coming out of the water.
I will put the Echo Lake ambient music, like all that classic Hollywood music that I like have warm and fuzzies of just remembering what hanging out at Echo Lake. It's such a Pavlovian. It's just such a Pavlovian response too. I'm so easily manipulated by nostalgia. It really does. Like we have to admit it. But all right, man. I know it's late. I'll let you go. I'll be editing podcasts and posting them because then going into work because that's.